You are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. Here are your hosts, Wally, Ray, and Will.
You're listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. I'm Wally and I'm your host. Ray and Will T are out. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Search All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. I just want to say I was right. I told folks that Reuben Foster shouldn't be suspended by Roger Goodell, and he wasn't. You know what I mean? Like, I told y'all this. I said that what suspensions to what Kareem Hunt got and some of the stuff, and to the point where the charges were dropped, the lady was known for lying. And again, I'm not saying I knew what happened, but for what it is in terms of the court system, I told you he shouldn't be suspended, and he wasn't. Only two game checks. And he gets to play 16 games if he stays straight. Now it's up to him to not put himself in a situation where he can get caught up. But I told y'all this. But I digress. Will T would normally say this. Let's get into our tradition. The pregame. Member of the Twitter movement, Redskins Tweet Team, Maurice Hawkins Jr. will join me to talk about Reuben Foster not being suspended by the NFL. Finally, we'll feature our listeners segment, That's Real Talk with the Urban Sports Scene. But first, right now, we got my dude, Redskins Tweet Team's own Maurice Hawkins, a.k.a. Hawk Diesel 1906 on the Twitter. What's up, Hawk?
Hey, we're good.
Nothing much, man. I'm glad you're on. You know, we've always chatted on, you know, I've had you on a show before, and also you've been supporting the Urban Sports Scene on All Skins Everything. So we appreciate having you on, my man.
Oh, thank you so much. It's an honor and pleasure to be on the show.
All right, so before we start, let our listeners know about the Redskins Tweet Team movement, because I feel like I'm part of it anyway, but let our listeners know about it.
Oh, yeah, sure. So pretty much how the Redskins Tweet Team started, back in 2013, I went to Redskins training camp in Richmond, mm-hmm. and I think that was the first year they were in Richmond, if I'm not mistaken. And they had a social media day, so you had all these different Redskins fans that were active on social media, Twitter in particular, sharing their Redskins stories. And it just kind of dawned on me, what would happen if we had a way of connecting fans to where they could have communication with each other, support each other, you know, have positive interaction with each other, positive interaction with the fans, be supportive of the fans. And I just kind of came up with the idea of a Redskins Tweet Team. So I started using that hashtag fairly consistently mm-hmm. by myself. And then it was kind of wild because, you know, for a long time, it was just me using the hashtag. Mm-hmm. Right? And so a lot of people didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. But, you know, after a while, people gradually started using the hashtag and tagging it in their tweets, mm-hmm. and conversations started emerging, and then that grew into have meetups.
Yeah, I saw that. I've seen that.
In person. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of grew into us developing a logo, which led to us, you know, developing, you know, a banner, and then, you know, people purchasing their own individual banner, mm-hmm. and then people representing their tweet team at different Redskins games, different Redskins events. So it's just really grown into, you know, a good place for Redskins fans to interact with one another on social media. You know, we want to be positive supporters of the Washington Redskins. Win, lose, or draw, we want to be there supporting the team. We want to be positive supporters of each other. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much what has grown into it. I think one of the big things that I've noticed with the Redskins Tweet Team is just we are able to promote other fans who are creating content about the Redskins. Mm-hmm. So now we've become more of a distribution channel to try to amplify these different, you know, podcasts and blogs and articles that fans are creating. Because, again, you know, people are writing about the Redskins. They're doing podcasts about the Redskins. Like your show, So we want to be able to help promote those fans so they can grow their audience and they can have more influence about the message they're trying to share about the Redskins. And, of course, we also want to be supportive of the team and their endeavors, you know, whether it's a nonprofit or whether it's just an event that the team is sponsoring or just your games and your tailgate party. So that's pretty much what we've done so far.
Well, you know, I've appreciated the Redskins Tweet Team because they've helped actually promote some of my stuff. I mean, you all have, and I really appreciate it. Also, I feel like you've reached the players. I think the players appreciate you guys as well. I mean, appreciate the Redskins Tweet Team as well.
Yeah, I think so as well. I mean, because, you know, a lot of players have their own, you know, nonprofits. They have their own programs. They have their own events. So, you know, if there's an opportunity for us to, you know, connect fans with their events, we want to do that. And then I think the other thing, too, is that when I was growing up, because I graduated high school in PG County, Maryland.
The same. I'm from PG. So, what high school?
I went to Central High School.
Central? Yeah, a couple friends from Central. Okay.
Yeah. So you know, when you're growing up, you think of, like back in the day, people thought of the NFL fans were people that lived in the immediate area of that team.
Of course,
right?
Yes.
But, you know, with social media, you know, we've really discovered that there's a whole marketplace of Redskins fans around the world.
Agreed.
I mean, as a result of the Redskins Tweet Team, like, I've interacted with fans that live in Spain, Germany, England, Colombia, Australia, you know, just fans all across the country and all across the world. And the main thing that I try to convey to people is that this hashtag, this movement, as you called it earlier, is an opportunity for you to share your Redskins fan experience with a broader audience of people and connect with Redskins fans. And, you know, not just, you know, just for the sake of talking to them on social media, but if you're going to a Redskins game, you know, you can say, hey, this is how you get your tickets. Hey, this is where the pregame party is going to be. This is where the tailgate we're going to be at. This is where you can buy your gear. You know, this is a hotel that you can stay at. They have a good rate. You know, so, and a lot of times people will come in from out of town and they don't know any Redskins fans, but because they've been interacting with the Redskins Tweet Team, they automatically are, you know, a part of our family. And, you know, we can show them around, give them rides to the game. You know, so it becomes a resource. And that's pretty much, you know, what we try to do as best we can. So I think we've kind of grown nicely as a result of that.
Oh, you definitely have. So let's get into this whole Reuben Foster thing I talked about a little earlier. So the league decided not to suspend Reuben Foster for his arrest in November for a domestic violence charge. The charges were dropped. The league decided to take away two game checks. Thoughts? What were your thoughts on the ruling?
Well, I'm glad that he's not going to be suspended for, you know, those six games that they were talking about. So I think that's an added bonus to Redskins that he'll be able to play, you know, week one, you know, make sure he keeps himself out of trouble. I don't understand the two-game check forfeiture part of it. You know, I feel like it's kind of like they're trying to, you know, have their cake and eat it too. Like, hey, we're going to let you play. But we have to show some kind of penalty to you. So my line of thinking is this, is that if the charges were dropped in the courtroom, I don't see why he should be forfeiting his pay.
I agree.
You know, now if he was found guilty of the domestic violence, I would have no problem with him serving that six-game suspension, you know, or whatever punishment the league would hand down as a result of him being found guilty. I have some real concerns about the NFL and their extrajudicial punishment on the players, even when the players have been exonerated in a court of law. So, and I think that's something that the Players Association needs to look at intently when they have the next collective bargaining agreement, because if a court of law finds you without fault or charges were dropped or you're innocent, I don't think the NFL should be punishing you, you know, additionally, you know, if you do the crime, you do the time, I have no problem with that. But just imposing disciplinary action on a player, you know, even though the player, you know, was found not guilty or the charges were dropped, it just seems to be a little problematic. So, and I think, you know, I wish Ruben the best of luck. I feel like our management team has been vindicated as a result of signing Ruben Foster, because the team took so much negative publicity from the media and a lot of activists because people assumed that Ruben Foster was guilty of the charges that were issued to him. But he has been exonerated. The charges have been dropped. So let's just wish him the best of luck, and hopefully he can keep his nose clean moving forward.
Yeah, I agree with you. I kind of think that the reason why they took away the two game checks and it's BS, to be honest with you, is because he found a way to still connect with that girl. You know what I mean? I think that he met somebody and somebody else said the same thing, and somebody said he, you know, was a domestic, he got a domestic assault charge, right, from somebody totally different. Mm-hmm. And the charges were dropped. I think he may have the two game check, and with the whole situations being similar, the two game check wouldn't have happened. But I think since he dealt with the same girl, I'm sure Goodell probably told him, "Hey, you got to stop talking to that girl. You can't be in close contact with the girl or in communication with the girl." And I think that's why. But I'm with you though. Still, at the same time, you can't. But your investigation is that thorough that if the court system and the law says this dude was, you know, is innocent, you know, because they don't have the evidence or they found something that's not true, then how can you throw down a punishment?
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. So, like, I'm totally with you. I've always been kind of curious with that. But you made an interesting point. Like, this team was getting bashed by the national media and some local, to be honest with you, some local media, too. So, local pundits. Do you think that Bruce Allen, Doug Williams and company deserve credit now for claiming Ruben Foster off waivers?
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Here's the thing, right? It would have been much, much easier for the team at that time not to put themselves in that situation with Ruben Foster. I mean, that was a big risk when you think about it. Because here's the thing. If, let's just say, he was found guilty of those charges, the team would have been really embarrassed by that.
Of course.
You know, and it would have validated all of the criticism that they received from the national media and some local media. But again, they trusted themselves and they did their due diligence. They did not allow the external media environment to make a decision as to whether they should select Ruben or not. And I think that's a cautionary tale for not just the Washington Redskins or other NFL franchises, but for any organization that deals with somebody that may have some controversy around them and people are making character judgments before all the facts have been laid out. And I think because we're in this instant news environment where people want to render judgments and express their opinions on social media platforms and build an audience off of someone else's misery, we don't allow the facts to come out and effectively and accurately evaluate the situation based off the facts. And I think the Redskins did their due diligence. They trusted their investigative team as it relates to Ruben Foster. And now they've been vindicated. And then I read Bruce Allen's statement about Ruben Foster, and it looks as though they have a pretty good plan for Ruben Foster. Yeah. And if he can adhere to that plan, I think he'll put himself on a pathway towards success, not just as a football player, but just as a human being. And I think that's the most important thing for Ruben.
Yeah.
So, again, I think the team was vindicated, and I think one of the things that I don't like about some of the media that cover the Redskins, there seems to be almost an addiction to
negativity.
You know, talk about the Redskins when something negative is attached to them, but be very muted when the Redskins are experiencing some type of success.
Yeah, because the Skins are an easy target, especially depending on who you listen to in terms of the local market or what station or what, if it's a radio station, what radio station. Or if it's a, you know, if it's a news outlet, what news outlet? But I'm with you in terms of, like, the society that we live in. Everyone, we got to be careful about saying just because of an image, this person is guilty. Nowadays, anybody can say anything, and now that person's guilty. It doesn't really matter. Because even my thing about the whole Reuben Foster situation, like, one, no one knew what happened, but everyone acted like they knew what happened, right? And right. Then, like, if we're going to be fair, right, because let's take it to the simplistic levels of the legal system, or any, or even when someone's telling you a story, who to believe and who not to believe. When someone has holes in their story, and no one's stupid enough, when that lady came out with her story, there were holes in her story. Regardless of what you think may or may not happen, there were holes in her story, and she had to pass some lying too, right? So, and I'm not saying nothing happened or whatever, because I wasn't there. Like, only Reuben Foster and this young lady was there. But at the same time, break down what each party is saying before you come out and say, well, he did it. Like, he just did it. And ignore that this girl lied to in another situation, a different situation, right, lied about a dude and had to spend jail time. Reuben Foster's right. domestic charges have only happened with this one girl. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
He's not a serial, if he was guilty, right? He's not a serial domestic abuser. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
There's not a bunch of girls on his resume, but this one right. girl, right, has a pattern, right? If we want to put it that right. way, of lying. Now, maybe she was hit and she just said she was lying. I don't know, but I'm just saying that's the pattern that's been shown. So when someone like that just comes out and says, like, okay, this happened, now we're just believing her without really giving the other individual an opportunity to defend himself, then that's a problem. Reuben Foster has issues. He had an issue with the gun charge. That's different. Like, that's immaturity, and that's something he has to iron out about being right. mature as a man. Right. But when we're lumping all that together, like, don't do that. They're two separate things. And then you have to right. argue it. You have to argue it and listen to both sides before you just come out and say, all right, he did it. Because that's not fair. Because in your work, if anybody's workplace, if somebody said they did something and it's not true. Right. It's right. not true. But if everybody believes it, you feel pissed off. Right. Like, you're like, wow, right. this is not fair. Well, put yourself right. in that man's situation. If he's telling the truth, you all have crapped on him. And acted like he was done, and he was the biggest criminal in the world. Now that it seems that he's innocent, where are those people at now? Why right. are they not coming out saying, okay, Reuben, we apologize?
Right. Well, I think what happens is there's what you call an outrage industry.
Mm-hmm.
So if people don't agree with something, they want to be outraged. And then people want to, you know, basically stereotype certain people when charges are laid at their feet. So people would assume, oh, Reuben Foster, he's a football player. He went to Alabama.
Agreed.
Of course he mm-hmm. hit her. Of course he's beating her, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what football players do, you know, not knowing all the facts. And I think, to me, when I found out that the young lady's charges were dropped the first time,
yeah,
I mean, I automatically thought, well, this is a credibility issue at this point,
mm-hmm.
you know, because – you know, because, you know, her story's not adding up. She's already had charges dropped. And then, you know, this situation happens again. You know, I said, well, I thought he was in a good position because, you know, the charges have been dropped before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there may be some questions about her credibility as a victim. And then apparently the court saw that, you know, there wasn't any there, as they say, and they dropped the charges for a second time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think, and then a lot of people say, well, why did he put himself in that situation? Okay, I mean, if you're a young man and apparently he was attracted to this woman,
yeah.
you know, he had feelings for her, so we all know that, you know, sometimes people make decisions when it comes to their emotions and their feelings that are not strategic or sound decisions. You know, maybe he was trying to resolve the issue. Maybe he thought he could work things out, you know. But I think a lot of times with these football players, a lot of people look at them as privileged individuals, and that they, you know, are, you know, behaving poorly, or they, you know, they've been pampered and coddled their whole life. So when they do something wrong, they had to have done it. It's very hard for a lot of people in the broader community to see football players as victims. That people that could be victimized by a significant other, by an agent, by a coach. People have a hard time seeing football players as people who can be victimized. And I think that if we take a longer view of these situations and focus on getting to the facts, opposed to reinforcing whatever prejudices, bias that we may have, or opinions, I think we'll have better outcomes. But I think so many people are addicted to pushing their opinion, their point of view, their perspective about a situation, that the facts be damned in that situation. And that's why we have so many problems as it relates to media and stories being told accurately, because people have their own opinions and agendas opposed to promoting the truth and promoting the facts. And that's what should be most important. What are the facts? Let the facts tell your story, not your opinion.
So agree. You're listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene. Right now I have my dude Hawk Diesel from Redskins Tweet Team. So what do you think Reuben Foster brings to the table for the Skins?
Well, I think he brings a first-round talent to the linebacking core. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that he's going to be a significant upgrade at the linebacking position that we had on the past couple of seasons. You know, Zach Brown, you know, he did well his first year.
Mm-hmm.
He came for the Redskins. There was a significant drop-off in the second year. And I think that one of the things that the Redskins is doing that I think is smart, I mean, not just with Reuben Foster, but then with this move with Landon Collins, is they are bringing a certain type of player to the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And like we were saying on social media the other day, the Redskins could potentially have 5 to 6 players on defense who went to the University of Alabama. And I don't think it's because, you know, simply because Alabama is a winning football program. There are a lot of winning football programs. But I think it's something about chemistry, camaraderie, and a culture
mm-hmm.
that the Redskins are trying to create for the defensive unit. And I think it's that they can create chemistry, camaraderie, and culture with the defense is based off of being disciplined, being based off of being physical, and having a winning attitude, you know, that could transform this franchise to be successful. And I think if you look at the play of players like John Allen,
mm-hmm.
De'Ron Payne, they've done really, really well for the Redskins. I think signing Landon Collins, I mean, he is definitely taking, full control of his Redskins experience as a new safety.
Mm-hmm.
I think Reuben Foster being a first-round talent, you know, he adds strength at all levels. So having, like, you know, first-round draft pick talent at all levels of our defense, at the defensive line and linebacking core in the secondary, I think that could be a problem for the NFC East in 2019 if the coaching staff can put everything together. Because everything looks good on paper, but it's what you do on Sunday that's most important.
No, I agree. So what do you think is going to do with the sign of Reuben Foster? I mean, Reuben Foster, you know, not being suspended or whatnot. What does that do for somebody like Ryan Anderson? Gets to play alongside of his own teammate.
Well, I'm hoping that Ryan Anderson has a breakout year. And, you know, as far as being that the edge rusher, I mean, he's kind of been like the missing link
mm-hmm.
for the rest of his defense since he's come on board. I mean, there was a lot of pomp and circumstance surrounding Ryan Anderson because he came from Alabama with John Allen a couple of years ago. But now he really has not panned out to being like that defensive player. So, and I don't know what the issue is. I don't know if he's not fast enough, he's not strong enough, he's not, you know, learning the defensive concepts. But again, hopefully this will be an opportunity for Ryan Anderson to shine and get some quality playing time for the Redskins. So I hope by him being surrounded by so many Alabama players that he will dig deep within himself and have a breakout year.
I think Ryan Anderson would be really good. This is just by observing him, be really good in the 4-3. I think he would be a good an outside linebacker in the 4-3. I think it's hard as an edge mm-hmm. rusher. I'm not sure he brings. I mean, I think he improved last season. In my opinion, I thought he played okay. As a he had a couple of sacks. He had some sacks last year compared to his rookie year. I thought he saw improvement, but I think he'd be a better 4-3 outside linebacker. But Again, I think playing with you, like you're saying, being alongside Reuben Foster, seeing the progression of Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne, I think it's going to motivate him. I really do.
Right. So and I think another thing. Mm-hmm. I think another thing too, as it relates to Ryan Anderson, going back to him for 1 minute, there's also a thing of rep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That too.
Because last year, you know, Preston Smith got the bulk of the reps as outside linebacker, and really, if you look at Preston Smith outside of the Cowboys game. When the Redskins beat the Cowboys mm-hmm. at home last season, I didn't really find Preston Smith to be a disruptive force or a consistent disruptive force on defense mm-hmm. last season. And I think that if you have somebody like that that's occupying a majority of the snaps and Ryan Anderson is not getting a chance to get into a groove, you really don't know what he could do if he was like, say, the starter week in and week out or he was getting considerable minutes week in and week out. So hopefully we'll see that in 2019, and you know he'll be able to produce for the Redskins.
That's a very good point. I mean, obviously, like any sports, any athlete, repetition is important. So for him to get a rhythm, yeah, definitely he should get more playing time. That would make him a better player. So again, with Foster, you know, with the ruling happening before the draft, what does this allow in terms of moves for the Skins to do? Like what now do they have what positions do they have to focus on? Is it an edge rusher? Do they still go inside linebacker? What's in play now with that 15th pick since they made this move since Reuben Foster isn't suspended?
Well, I don't think they need to use a 15th round pick for an inside linebacker.
Okay,
they have Mason Foster, they have Sean Dion Hamilton, and now they got Reuben Foster.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if they want to pick up an inside linebacker, I mean, I would pick up one in a later round
mm-hmm.
that could be mentored by those three players. I think if the Redskins, I think the Redskins need to either go edge rusher or offensive guard or quarterback in the first pick. That should be one of the three positions that they should be looking intently. And, you know, in that first round. And I think if it was up to me, I would get an edge rusher.
Me too.
Because here's the thing about it. You have two first-round picks on your D-line with John Allen and Deron Payne. You have you just signed Landon Collins. That's a significant upgrade at your safety spot. You got Reuben Foster that's going to be a stud for you at the inside linebacker. Get that first round talent edge rusher, so he can start mentoring with Ryan Kerrigan,
mm-hmm.
you know, and start planning for the future. So like, you know, because Ryan Kerrigan, you know, he's on the back nine of his career.
I mean,
he may have two, three years tops of playing in the NFL at the level that he's playing at. But again, get that young edge rusher in here, get him indoctrinated to the defense, so he can be a player for the Redskins that played as long as, say, Ryan Kerrigan has and has been a staple on our team. And that starts upgrading our defense. Because here's the thing about it, right? We have a better opportunity of fielding a formidable defensive unit than we are an offensive unit right now.
Yeah.
I think the things that the Redskins are going to have to do on offense, they're going to need a strong defense to help them win some games going into 2019. And I think getting an edge rusher, a first-round talent edge rusher, will go a long way to strengthening the defensive play for the Redskins for this upcoming season.
Yeah, I think an edge rusher would be my choice. But it would be if they drafted an edge rusher, it would definitely be a competition, not with Ryan Kerrigan, but between Ryan Anderson and the rookie, whoever they do draft, because there are some talented edge rushers. And you see a guy who can really rush the passer, and I'm talking about a guy who really fits the 3-4, that type of edge rusher who has flexibility, who can get low. Something like we saw with Junior Gallette. There's things that Junior Gallette can do as an edge rusher. If they get a young guy who can really fit in this 3-4, yeah, and the competition is great. So it's something that's going to probably motivate Ryan Anderson, right? So you can motivate him, and you know, then now your D-line is like you said, now your defense is stout because now people are pressing but competing with each other to really make an impact on the field. And when you get competition within your own unit, your defense gets better.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, all right. So speaking of, you mentioned Mason Foster. You mentioned Sean Dion Hamilton. Since, you know, obviously, I think we both believe that Reuben Foster should start. I mean, if the talent is what we all think, he should start. Who would you like to see play alongside of Reuben Foster in terms of the inside linebacker position?
I mean, I would go with Mason Foster.
Okay.
I think Mason Foster is he's like the workman. You know, he gets the job done. He understands the team. He understands the concepts. You know, he's going to provide that veteran leadership. He's a former team captain, so I think he can help give Reuben Foster that support that he's going to need during the game. And I like Sean Dion Hamilton coming off the bench and giving them a blow. And also because Sean Dion Hamilton is a little smaller than Reuben and Mason, you know, he doesn't have to take as much wear and tear on them. And that could be kind of like a rotational thing. Like, okay, now we're gonna give Reuben a blow in this series. Okay, now we're going to give Mason a blow in this series. But, you know, Reuben and Mason would start the game.
Mm.
And then you would get your rotation with Sean Dion Hamilton. I mean, that way you can keep those inside linebackers fresh during the game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good point. I didn't think about that in terms of having a rotation between, you know, the three.
Yeah.
I like that because, you're keeping his body fresh. I get that. I'm a big fan of having I like Sean Dion Hamilton out of college.
Right.
I thought it was a steal getting him. I thought it was a big steal. Teaming him back up with Reuben Foster. I guess for me, it's like we mentioned about the Bama guys, and not because they were the Bama winning mentality, that too, but chemistry is a lot. Like, you know what I mean? Like, to know that when you call a play, you know that your other guy understands everything you're about to do. Because we've seen with this Skins team where communication is not, it has not, on the defense, has lacked a lot at times, right?
Right.
So when you look at Sean Dion Hamilton, a guy who, you know, Nick Saban said is a really smart kid, and he is a smart kid, and then you look at Reuben Foster, and the first thing I saw Reuben Foster out of Alabama, because I wanted him when he came out. Like, I wanted him bad when he came out. I wanted him more than I wanted Jonathan Allen, to be honest with you. I really wanted Reuben Foster. Like, I was yelling for the walls. Reuben Foster, and then when I found out that when the Skins got, you know, Ryan Anderson, because he slipped, and they got Jonathan Allen when he slipped, and then Reuben Foster was still there, and like at the end of the round, I was like, oh, you got to trade back. You got to get him. You got to get him. We can get Jonathan Allen and we can get Reuben Foster. That's a win. That's a win-win situation. So because I liked Reuben Foster because I'm not saying he is that guy, but he's in the mold and with the brain of like a Ray Lewis who can play in pass pro because he understands concepts. And also, he's a tackling machine because it's just like C.J. Mosley. Like, you know what I mean? Like, C.J. Mosley was amazing for the Ravens. Now he's with the Jets. But, like, that's who Reuben Foster is. And you can get that guy and teamed up with another guy, Sean Dion Hamilton, with speed, too. Now you got guys who can kind of go sideline to sideline. That's a combination I like. But that's because of the chemistry. I'm a big fan of the chemistry.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think what's important, too, is that the reason why I brought up having a strong rotation, because I think when you have a strong rotation and you take the pressure off certain players having to play every down, you know, you can help them as far as their health is concerned.
I agree.
You know, because wear and tear is something that, you know, everybody's going to go through during an NFL season. And I think it's important for, you know, the training staff and the coaching staff that players fresh and healthy. And that's why you want to have a rotation, not just, you know, with inside linebackers, but, you know, if you can do that, you know, on D-line, offensive I mean, I like to see Tim Settle get more reps.
Me too. Me too. I would love to see him get a lot. I'm with you. He needs to get more reps.
And I think that's how you keep the players fresh. Because here's the thing. The reason why the Redskins have not been successful, you know, the past two seasons has been injuries.
Yeah.
That has been the biggest enemy to the Redskins. I mean, the Redskins have had more players on injury reserve than any other team in the NFL for the past two seasons. So, you know, management, the coaching staff, the training staff, they need to take a look at what they are doing as it relates to their sports rehabilitation and sports health of these players to keep them on the field. What are other teams doing where they're not experiencing those type of injuries and the magnitude of injuries that the Redskins have experienced the past two seasons. I mean, here's the thing. The Redskins were 6-3 when they were playing the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
They were 6-3.
6-3.
Both teams were in first place of their respective divisions. Houston kept on playing well, made it to the playoffs, won their division. The Redskins took a huge nosedive, you know, once Alex Smith went out. And that was all she wrote, you know. And part of the challenge for the Redskins was they didn't have the depth across the board of players that were able to step up and meet the challenge. And injuries were a big part of that. You know, yeah, our starters are great, you know what I mean, but once the starter goes down, and inevitably because of the game of football, people are going to get hurt. Who's that second-round guy that can come up in there and give you quality playing time when the team gets injured? So, really, I think that's so important going into 2019 is managing our injury and make sure we have enough depth on our team that if we lose a good player, that we don't have to drop off in talent.
Yeah, I'm hoping on that too myself. But, man, this has been a great discussion. Before I let you go, let my listeners know about the hashtag, a.k.a. the movement,
okay, yeah.
and also some of your Twitter handles and whatnot.
Yeah, so the best way to stay in touch with the Redskins Sweet Team is using hashtag Redskins Sweet Team, or you can follow us on Twitter at RTT1932. That's our official Redskins Sweet Team Twitter handle. You can follow me on Twitter at HawkDiesel1906. That's at HawkDiesel1906. And we're always trying to have, communications and interactions with Redskins fans so we can share your blog or your podcast or, you know, your event. You know, let us know. We want to share that. We want to interact with Redskins fans. We want people to get banners and represent the Redskins Sweet Team and help us grow this movement of positive support of our favorite football team.
Man, I appreciate you for being on, man. Hawk, you know you're my man. And hopefully we can have you on. I'm going to have you on again throughout this off season and the season.
Yeah, just let me know, and I'll be more than happy to be on a call.
Thank you so much, my man.
All right. Camp for the rest.
HCTR, you know it.
All right,
bye-bye. Bye. That's my man, Hawk Diesel, man. Great guy. Again, follow the hashtag Redskins Tweet Team. Also, follow him on Twitter at Hawk Diesel. 1906. Anyway, it's about that time. It's time for That's Real Talk with the Urban Sports Scene. See you after the break. Boy, you a fool. She not. R.I.P. Shorty Low. R.I.P. We laughing at them haters like, ha, ha, ha. So all them folks who was hating on the Skins for signing, for claiming Reuben Foster, we laughing at you haters like, ha, ha, ha. Yeah, I'm feeling myself. I'm not going to lie. I'm feeling myself. You're listening to All Skins, everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM. Hopewell, Virginia. I'm Wally Ray Jeezy and Will TR out. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Just search All Skins, everything with the Urban Sports Scene. It's time for That's Real Talk with the Urban Sports Scene. Anytime you feel like ranting about the Skins or you have a question, call us and leave us a voice message. You hear us the number. It's 301-799-5407. You can also tweet us at Urban Sports Scene or hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. We'll play your message on our show. We're also read your tweets and Facebook posts on our show. Here is the topic for today. Who would you like to play alongside Reuben Foster, Mason Foster, Sean Deion Hamilton, or other? On our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page, Jeffrey Walters posted Devin Bush with the first pick, first round pick, the Redskins' 15th pick in the draft. I'm a Michigan fan. I love Devin Bush. He has great sideline to sideline speed. He's an impact inside linebacker. But again, I like Sean Deion Hamilton, what he brings to the table. And I think in the draft, if the Skins go defense, I believe they should go edge rusher over getting an inside linebacker. My man Raymond Sneed on Facebook posted other. Not a fan of Sean Deion Hamilton or Mason Foster. I posted the same question in the Facebook group, Redskins Nation Football. It's a great group. So if you're on Facebook, check that group out. If you're a diehard Skins fan, Vans Dang posted, once you pull that BS of F the fans, then he's done. Referring to Mason Foster when he came, when his IG account was hacked or whatever, and people screenshotted, and he had so many negative things to say about the Skins fan base. In the Facebook group, Washington Redskins fan, another good Facebook group. Make sure you check them out too. If you're on Facebook, search it and try to be a part of that group. Derek Arnold posted, Mason needs to be let go. We need hybrid linebackers, not just tackling machines. And Sean Deion Hamilton will be a perfect fit. I agree. I love Sean Deion Hamilton. I love his speed from what I saw in preseason and towards the end of the season last season. So I'm a big fan of Sean Deion Hamilton. I think he brings good chemistry with Reuben Foster because they played together at Alabama. Michael Boschio posted, draft either of the Devins. Referring to either, you know, Devin Bush from Michigan or LSU Devin White. Devin White won't be there. Devin Bush has an opportunity to be there, but Devin White will probably be a top 10 pick. He's a playmaker at LSU. Another a lights out inside linebacker, but the Skins got lucky. He dropped to the Skins. Oh, I agree. They should pull the trigger on Devin White. Scott Bunch posted, I like Zach Vigil. Call me crazy, but he is in on every damn tackle when he plays. Yeah, I think Zach Vigil makes a lot of plays. I have a bunch of homies who love Zach Vigil. He's good. It seems like he's good against the pass. Sideline speed, I'm not really sure about Zach Vigil. I think his sideline speed is okay when he plays. I think he's able to cover better than Mason Foster. And I think, in my opinion, the Skins need a better cover inside linebacker. CJ posted, if Deion can stay healthy, I will stay him. Keep the Bama boys together. Like I said earlier, you know, chemistry is important to have Reuben Foster and also Sean Deion Hamilton. Then you pair off having Payne, Allen, and also Ryan Anderson. That's chemistry, man. Them boys were dominant in Bama, winning championships. Again, you put those guys together, yeah, I'm all for that. Chester Eubanks posted, Mason Foster needs to be cut now. Don't waste money on him. Yeah, he should go over. He should have went over Zach Brown. I'll say that much. In the Facebook group, Die Hard Redskins Family, another good Facebook group. I'm giving y'all a bunch of good Redskins Facebook groups that you all should try to be a part of. Jim Gray says, Deion Hamilton. Jim Gray posted, Deion Hamilton, injury derailed his draft stock a couple years ago, but should be completely geared to go with added motivation. Hamilton is also faster than Tugboat. I like that one. And that's what we need alongside the new thumper in Foster, referring to Reuben Foster. I agree, my man, Jim. I agree. Kevin Sample posted, Hamilton over Chuck Wagon. Y'all be going on Mason Foster. I know Mason Foster seemed a little hefty towards the end of the season, but I like Reuben. I like Reuben Foster and Sean Deion Hamilton together. But I will say this, if the Skins decided to get Devin Bush, I wouldn't be mad at it. I'm a big fan of Devin Bush. I was a Michigan fan, so I am a Michigan fan, excuse me. And they can pair Devin Bush and Reuben Foster. I think obviously that is a inside linebacker core that can do some serious damage. Believe that. I appreciate my guest Hawk Diesel for being on. We all appreciate it from the Urban Sports Scene family. Anyway, you've been listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM. Hopewell, Virginia, for ages. You dig? Deuces. Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie. Peace.